The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear with the lovely music coming, bringing us back in from the break, my name is Darryl E.T.D. Fulton with Professor Craig Hawkins. We affectionately and I will continue to call him PCH. Eric Stanton is ready to receive your phone call. He's on the phone now, setting other people who are calling in up on the calls to be able to get your questions answered from a biblical perspective. You make this broadcast go, folks, as you call in and send your questions in. So please take an opportunity to call 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. We want to take as many questions as we can, so you make that happen by telephonically calling 888-995-5552, or like Christine does and other folks, Timothy, that we see you out there. Listen, Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger, the same address is Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, at our .com website, or even tweeting us and messengering us questions. But I definitely want to get back to the question that we were dealing with on the other side of the break with Joy about what happened before the Bible was written, what was going on. PCH, bring us back up to date. Joy, are you there? Are you there with us, Joy?
Yes.
All right, very good. Hang in there. Let the professor get on back into his answer.
So, yeah, we're talking about two forms of subjective and then two forms of objective revelation called general revelation that God gives to all people at all times and all places. So God's no respecter of persons. It's not like, well, I talk to religious people in this country, but not the others. They go, everybody knows this. Certain things are right. Certain things are wrong. They know there's a God. And they know that we're alienated from him. We're in trouble. And people have to suppress this knowledge. They have to hold it down. So one thing we have to deal with is this false idea that somehow people can only be saved. Well, what did you do before they heard the gospel? Or what did they do before we had the Bible? As important as the gospel is and the Bible is, God was, again, communicating directly to people and then using creation, general revelation to speak to people. And I think of the work of missionaries like Don Richardson, who wrote the book The Peace Child and Lords of the Earth. And he talks about people that he went to, and some of them, when he preached the gospel, they immediately accepted it because they said, we've known this to be true. We just didn't know God's name. We just didn't know how he did it. But we knew that we were in trouble. We're alienated from God. We need to be made right with God, and we couldn't do it, but we didn't know how to solve it. And then when they heard the gospel, they knew it to be true because God had already prepared them. And so God spoke to people in Old Testament times before the writing even of the Old Testament. Again, he would communicate with them, and the gospel was given to people because God is good and God is gracious. And we seem to have this idea that, well, another false idea is that, well, you're only saved if you really understand how God did it. Well, none of us knows perfectly how God did it. Yes, through Jesus Christ, absolutely. But exactly the significance of what we call the atonement, exactly what that does and how we're declared righteous before a holy and righteous God. But people were looking, were trusting in God, and people simply said, you know, there's a God, I know he exists, and I know I'm not right with him, and I need help. And I believe God honored that, that is a cry for help, that's a cry for salvation, which just means deliverance. And so it wasn't like we had to even know God's name, or it was going to be, you know, eventually Jesus, or even know through the Jewish people, with all due respect. No, it's that they were simply trusting in God. And that's what counts, because faith, belief, trust, all the same words in Greek and Hebrew, whether we're talking nouns, adjective, adverbs, or verbs, what have you, to believe, to have faith, to trust, is that they were believing, looking to God, believing in him. And why? Because he was already calling them. He was looking for them. I'm going to argue the Bible teaches not that any of us goes looking for God. Oh, but he's looking for us. And so that's the beauty of it. All that was going on before and during and even after the gospel has been given. Sure, we ought to preach the gospel. Sure, we want to put Bibles in people's hands. You bet. But even without those, we know that God can and does communicate to people. Look, there's whole books being written about this. There are countless stories of people in Islamic countries today where the gospel is illegal, where it's a death penalty for preaching the gospel, right? And a number of Muslim countries. And yet the gospel is getting in. How? Because God is going directly to people through dreams and visions, and people are coming to Christ. And so God is, while we should use the Bible, or we should talk about Jesus, but God is not limited to having to have a Bible in people's hands. He's able to communicate to them directly and is. And I would actually argue some of this is the failure of the church. We have failed to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and God's not letting people be lost just because we've failed. He's doing that through dreams, visions, revelations, and, of course, obviously when people get the Bible in their hands. And all these things would never contradict the Bible. I want to be careful here because there's all this stuff going on with the so-called New Apostolic Reformation and that. And they're teaching stuff that's unbiblical. We're talking about things that comport with the Bible. The same Holy Spirit that people say is speaking to them is the same Holy Spirit who's the ultimate author of the Bible, and those two do not contradict. And when they do, somebody's wrong, and it isn't the Bible. So God has been doing that, Joy, way before even the writing of the Old Testament, and he's still doing it today. And he's going directly to people and through special revelation and general revelation, and they know the truth. And for anyone who just simply says, I don't know how, I don't know what, I don't even know his name, but there is a God, and I'm not right with him, and I'm trusting in him that he'll make me right with him, that person's going to be saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. Excellent again.
Joy, thank you very much, as usual. Great call.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. PCH, segue, man. Keep going with that gospel message. And Eric from Arizona and Paul Whittier, we're going to get to you. Christina, we got your question on Facebook coming. And if those that want to join us, 888-995-5552. Call Eric. He has a few open lines. And then Facebook, email, tweet, or message, messenger at Bible Info Brokers. PCH, carry on. Keep on going, brother, with that gospel message you was talking about so people can really know from the standpoint of the Bible what it means to be saved and saved from what.
Well, thanks, Daryl. And, you know, people, even now, there's people listening to us right now think it's kind of an accident. It's a fluke. They don't normally listen. Maybe they're not even normally up at this time of night. For some reason, they're out driving or had the radio on or somebody left it on, whatever. And this is a divine appointment, my friend. This is no accident. God is calling you to repent. That is to turn from your sins and turn towards him. Salvation sounds all religious and mystical and weird. Salvation just means deliverance. It's some type of danger. It could be a fire, a flood, famine, COVID-19, Ebola, you know, whatever. It's some danger, and it's to be delivered. And God delivers us from the ultimate danger, which is eternal separation from him because of our sins, which is an old English word, but just means imperfections. Because of our imperfections, we've been alienated from God. And the Bible says everybody knows this. But we don't want to hear that because it doesn't make me feel good about myself. So I want to reinvent myself. I'm okay. You're okay. I'm not that bad. Maybe you are, but I'm not that bad. And I don't really need God saving me. Yes, you do. We're all that messed up. We're all imperfect. God's standards are complete, total, 100% absolute holiness and righteousness. And you need to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's what it's all about, Daryl. God is looking for people. He's on the hunt for them. And if you think, oh, I've got this interest in spiritual matters now, it's not so much because you're a spiritual person. It's because the Spirit of God is drawing you. You're in need of Jesus Christ. You need to trust in him. And people have all these religions we make up, all these ideas, all these things and ways we think we're going to get right with God, and they're made up. They're as silly, frankly, to be blunt, as people who made idols in the Old Testament out of wood and then overlaid them with metal or whatever, and then calling that their God. As goofy and silly and dumb as that was, we do the same things today because we think, I'll save myself, I'm okay, I'm not that bad. God will certainly, he needs me, boy. Heaven will be poor without me there. I got to be there. They need me. No, my friends, with all due respect, God doesn't need any of us. Oh, he wants you, he loves you, but he doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of us. But the beauty is he is gracious and good and kind. And for those who will acknowledge their sins, their imperfections, who will own it, ask for forgiveness, trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God gives to you eternal life right here, right now. I don't care where you are right now. If you're on top of a giant tower, you're in a car driving, you're wherever, on Skid Row, hearing this message, living at the top of the hill, God is calling you right now to be his child, his son, his daughter, to trust in him, to believe in him as your Lord and Savior, to repent, which means to turn away from a changing of your mind, turn away from sin, your imperfections, and to embrace God, ask for forgiveness, and be thankful, thank him for what he has done. And life won't be easy, but it will never be the same. Because God is calling you to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will never be the same.
PCS, can you just expand right quickly before we go back to the phone calls on the idea that if you don't have the God of the Bible, for example, but your life is going to have a God. Someone's calling the shots, and I think that you had even mentioned, mm-hmm. I just had this conversation with some relatives of mine about who is the God of your life, and we've talked about this for years, capitulated as them. I said, but yet when you go to these vicissitudes that's just beyond you, we already know that you didn't create yourself, but the idea about it is, man, if you're the God of your own life and you're calling the shots, what do you do when you just don't know what to do?
Well, exactly, and that's where despair comes in,
mm-hmm.
despondency, because we've trusted in ourselves and we've always allegedly got ourselves out of a bind, and then all of a sudden our best isn't good enough. We have cancer with stage 4, a loved one, worse than us having cancer, our loved one, a child, a spouse, best friend, brother, sister has cancer, and we don't know what to do, and we've become angry, despondent, go into despair. And so, yeah, we think we can save ourselves, but as Psalms tell us, that no person can redeem themselves. The life is too precious. None of us has enough money, has enough virtue, enough credit, whatever you want to call it, to save ourselves. And the wise person, some people see this as weakness, but actually it's your strength, is when you acknowledge, I can't do this. I can't fix this. Only God can fix this. This is the time where you let God be God and do what only God can do. Trust in Christ, and he will forgive you, and he will work in your life. But everybody, Daryl, your point's so well taken. Everybody has a God.
Yes.
It can be, and it's themselves, typically. It's the one you look at in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And the extension of that God is your job, is the car you drive in, the clothes you wear, whatever you think gives you status, whatever you trust in, your investments. The list goes on and on. These are all the cheap substitutes, the cheap gods, like a cheap cologne or perfume that stinks. The people think it makes them smell good, but it doesn't. But we all have a God. Everybody, as Bob Dylan said, everybody worships somebody.
Yeah.
And so who's your God, my friend? And most of you, it's the one you look at in the mirror. And I'm sorry, that God is going to fail you miserably, and you need to repent from worshiping that God and trust in the true and living Savior, God, who is the Savior of all people, and that's Jesus Christ.
PCH, I'm sorry. I'm going to say this one thing. When you said something about that cheap perfume, but it stinks, man. I'm just thinking about how raw about righteousness the Bible is, because I don't want to make any mistake about it, that God even used the expression, all of your righteousness compared to this soteriology we've been talking about, and who can save you, is as filthy rags. Now, we don't have to describe what it is. Matter of fact,
well, it's menstrual.
I was going to do a cliffhanger, so you got to listen in next week to get the answer. Ooh. But that's okay. You didn't gave it up. So there you go. That's why God deal with the reality of righteousness. And I noticed that the Bible is just like, I mean, just raw. And I love it. Personally, I love it when you just give it to me raw, raw dog, about something as that serious, because eternity is much too long, as our dear friend Brian would say, to be wrong.
Yeah, Daryl, one more thing. It reminds me of the proverbial cat in the cat box in the house. The cat, he has a little box, you know, and the cat tries to cover its
stuff.
Go to the bathroom,
yeah.
His business. But the house stinks.
Yeah.
The whole house. It's
yeah.
like, oh, the cat went. Tries to mask the scent, but I can smell it. And that's how it is. We try to hide our sin. Our number one go-to strategy is to deny, is to hide. I didn't do that. Like Adam and Eve, they want to hide from God.
Mm.
But our sin stinks worse than the cat, business in the cat box, and you can't hide it from God. You can't hide it really from anybody else either. Everybody else knows as well. And that's why the best thing you can do, my friend, is come clean. God already knows it, and get forgiveness and get truly cleaned up by God himself, who's the only one that can clean you up.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get back to the phone calls, Craig. I have to make my golf reference to this week. I'm going to do something else later on, too. But the golf reference is this, that people in the world who play golf knows that you marshal yourself and you're just refereeing yourself in the game because you're playing against the whole course. You're not playing against any opponent. No one's playing defense on you. But our life, like you said, know who you are, know what you're about. You know the ball move. You know you moved it. You got to call on yourself, not when in doubt. When in doubt, like in tennis, they say, when in doubt, you give it to your opponent. But when in doubt, you give it away. You don't take in golf, just like life. Don't take your life by playing with it in regards to your righteousness and right standing with God. You ain't. And that's what the Bible tells us so clearly. You ain't. How you say, Craig, not good English, but a very good point. You ain't no good. You're not righteous with God except through Christ. Okay.
Yeah. You ain't all that.
You ain't all that, and nor a bag of chips. Anyway, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Mr. Eric, ready to receive your phone call, or you can send us a question by way of Facebook, email, Messenger, or tweet. Christine, we're going to get to your question momentarily, but let's go back to the phone call. We got somebody calling from Whittier, and Eric, you hold on. You're going to be up next, okay? Paul from Whittier, California. Thanks for holding on and calling in.
Thank you. I was just calling. My question is I have a nephew. I said earlier he was a friend, but I want to correct that. He's okay. My nephew. And he's had a alcohol problem with hard liquor. And he's been dealing with it for quite a few years. But he recently, this year, I believe, or the end of last year, he went to New Orleans. And he had a seizure and he started having problems after that. Then he came back home, and later I found out that his mother-in-law dealt with witchcraft before, but I know in New Orleans that they also deal with voodoo. And he says he don't know if he might have touched anything or wear anything that might have had an effect with them. He said, but he goes, you know what? He goes, since then, I've been seeing a dark shadow. He goes, it's sometimes in the closet, mm-hmm. or sometimes it's standing on the front door, the bedroom door. He goes, it don't come in the room. But my nephew, he's saved. His mother have raised his kids, her kids as Christians. She was a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, and we're all Christian. We're a Christian family. I've been saved since, I believe, 1978. I'm an older man now. But he's been raised in that. So he knows Christ. He knows the word and everything. But he feels that he's being oppressed.
That's a good word.
I kind of get that. And I've been praying for him. But I just don't know what to do. And I talked to other pastors. And they all just tell me, oh, take him to a church so he can get prayed for, you know. But they really don't give me a solid answer of what to do, and I feel lost.
Well, let me do this so I can formulate the question for a professor to deal with it. I think what Paul is saying, PCH, real short and sweet, is that because he's a Christian, what do you do when you're dealing with a Christian that may be demon oppressed as opposed to possessed?
Yes, I don't believe he's possessed.
Got you. And that's why I said it just like that.
But let's go back for a moment there. Is this the same one who's been binge drinking and all that?
He's been drinking. So I don't know if it's just a mental thing he's going through or if it's an
could
actual.
Could be that. Let's deal with a couple ways, Paul. But first of all, I mean, it sounds like he's an alcoholic. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. So I'm not saying he couldn't be a believer, but minimally, he's a backslidden believer. So he's got, I mean, he's drinking. So I'd want to know, what are you drinking for? What are you trying to, what feelings are you trying to dull? You know, what's going on? I mean, I got to just tell you, I'm skeptical that he's a believer. And let me tell you how I would talk to him if I personally had access to him. I'd want to know if you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't want to know that he knows about Christ. I want to know that he knows him as Lord and Savior. Are you trusting in him and him alone for salvation? And then if he says no, well, I'm going to talk to him in one way. And if he says yes, I'm going to go, then what's with the drinking? What's going on here? Why are you doing this? This is sin. And if you're a Christian, you have to know this. God's convicting you. Now, when you said he went to New Orleans, what did he go there for? Just business or just to visit? Or what was his reason for going there?
Actually, it was pleasure, and he went with his wife, and they went out there and you know, just to kind of an experience. It was a pleasure for him.
Was it during Mardi Gras time?
No, I don't believe
so. Okay. All right, go ahead, PC.
Either way, I've been to New Orleans as well.
I live there. Y'all know I live there.
And the occult is, you know, I know it's right out there on the street. You
yep.
don't have to go into some shop. It's right there in your face, and somebody will read your palm or all that stuff, what have you. But I tell you, I would say, look, first of all, I'm skeptical that you're a believer. But if you're not, you need to trust in Christ. There's not enough to know about him. That's like knowing that smoking's not good for me. But if I keep smoking, all that I know is not going to help me. I got to appropriate that knowledge. He needs to trust in Christ. And the evidence is like he doesn't know him, number one. Number two, if he's a believer, then it's time to repent and knock it off. Now, it is possible that he's hallucinating. There are people, not just with drugs, even with pot. People don't seem to understand that, or other drugs.
Yeah.
He could be hallucinating. He could, you know, having, you know, a form of mental illness induced by the alcoholism. And it could be demonic. But if it is demonic, there's a reason. They don't just cut right into your house. He had to open some type of door. He's got, I think you said his mom or somebody's doing the occult or whatever. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Mother-in-law.
Okay, his mother-in-law, does she live with him?
No, she doesn't.
Okay. But she comes around. Look, here's the deal. Okay, let's just cut to the chase here. The devil's a squatter. Yeah. The demonic is kind of the devil. If it's not some form, frankly, of mental illness, and I'd want to rule that out. Number one, from the alcoholism and/or genetically, whatever else the family suffers from. But if it is indeed demonic, there's a reason it's hanging around and bothering him. I believe there is a demonic realm, and it not possess, as you guys have said, but harass or oppress. And they're squatters, and that's when you get some oil or whatever, or you start praying to God and saying, Lord, I need this stuff out of here. It doesn't belong here. This is your house. But he's got to be firm in that commitment. I belong to you, God. Therefore, everything I have belongs to you. This house belongs to you, and this demonic has no business being here. I'm asking that you kick them out. I see this, assuming it's not some form of mental illness breakdown. It is God warning him. God getting his attention. He keeps drinking, binging. God's not getting his attention. Well, this is one way God will get your attention, beside a car wreck or whatever, is let stuff like this happen. If he's a believer, that stuff has no right to be around him. But if he's living in sin, he keeps opening the door. It's almost as if he's inviting them back in because of his sinful lifestyle, and no doubt coming around with his mother-in-law's around, and then it just hangs out because he's fun to pick on.
Yeah.
Because he's an easy mark. He's an easy target because he's not walking with the Lord. The Christian who's in sin is the devil's playground.
Wow.
And people need to wise up. And there is a spiritual realm. We Christians often live like atheists. We live like we're materialists, like there really is no spirit realm. And there is. And they will harass, oppress Christians, particularly those who are in sin, who've opened the door up. And that's what he's been doing. And that door needs to be shut. And this is the chance for him. God's given him to repent, to turn from his sin and ask God to take the stuff away. But this is a blessing in disguise. Nobody wants a demonic around them, but God will allow it to get his attention that he might repent and start walking with God and quit squandering his life.
Amen. I believe that. And you know what? Thank you for that. He's currently in detox.
Good.
And so, but he's not allowed to have a phone, so I can't speak with him, but he relies on me. He calls me as me being his uncle, and me being his uncle, I'm trying to seek out help for him, you know, but I also want to break that chain. I want to break whatever it is that's harassing him. But I really appreciate what you told me. That was very enlightening. Thank you.
Hey, why don't you do this, Paul, if I can suggest, when he gets out and you're with him, whether it's on telephonically or what have you, have this thing on our Facebook page, and you'll be able to play this portion of the broadcast back. You know, you just go right to the second hour and be able to play right back. You're showing your love for your nephew this way, man. And we appreciate your phone call.
Let me give you one last thing.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I don't know, but I know how it goes in New Orleans.
Yeah.
If he had his palm read by a palm reader or a tarot card reading or a horoscope or a crystal ball, that's sin, and that lets a demonic in our life to harass us. You need to ask him if he's done any of that, or his wife has, and she both need to repent of that and renounce that and ask for forgiveness, because that would clearly open the door. Almost always when the door is open in the demonic realm in our lives, it's the number one way, because if someone's been messing around with the occult, whether they thought they were just dabbling or playing or not, by having their palm read or otherwise, they've opened that door, and it only gets shut by repenting and asking God for forgiveness and to remove it from their life.
Paul, thank you very much for your phone call, brother. God bless you, man.
Thank you, guys, and God bless you as well.
Hey, yeah, and call us back. We want to see how this goes.
Please do. Please do.
We'll do. As soon as he gets out of detox, I will do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. PCH, I mean, that's a subject matter we get every now and then with the questions, but I think that it's probably, especially since you wrote a couple of books in this area, I think we ought to do a little teaching maybe. You know, whenever you feel it's appropriate, man, we have time to do a little teaching on that, the beginning of the show or something like that, because it's actually pervasive, not only just in New Orleans where I'm from, you know, I'm kind of like LA, but it's all over here, man. It's in Las Vegas and a lot of these places that are money, tourism, and stuff like that. I'm surprised it's not even more pervasive, or more people are dealing with it, or they think that's like cute to kind of deal with that stuff. And I see it a lot on these little TV reality shows when I'm checking these things out so I can talk to people. Man, it's people just think it's just people think it's like, you know, like almost like cute, Craig. I'm not trying to be funny. They think it's cute. And C.S. Lewis wrote, what's that book, The Screwtape Letters? I love that book because it shows how you can open up the door to this type of stuff, man.
Well, yeah, people think, oh, I was just playing. I was.
Yeah.
We had a company party, and they invited a palm reader, and I wasn't taking it serious. Well, you may not be, but the demonic realm is.
Yeah. They're having a ball. So don't be self-checked and think that stuff is cute, folks. Don't be self-checked and just open the door and come on in. You know, I can handle you. Anyway, 888-995-5552. Eric, have a few open lines. 888-995-5552. We're actually going to fourth quarter, Craig. 888-995-5552. Hey, Sal and Christine, I'm going to get to your Facebook question, but I'm seeing Sal's name. It reminds me to go on our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com. Look at the virtual Bible study. You'll be able to participate in that by sharing. And Sal can give you all the information once you contact him, but go on our website. We're trying to get, you know, seamless with these things where you can be able to communicate with us during the week, all kind of offerings that we have. Matter of fact, Craig, I want you to, you know, briefly talk about the His Channel offering you have also with folks that they can even get questions answered during the week, and even after this broadcast, they can actually call in and text, not fax, their question.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Indeed, Wednesdays I have the privilege on His Channel, hischannel.com, internet TV, to do a program called Today's Bible Questions, where much like this, but in that case, people text in their questions and attempt to answer them. It's 1 to 2 Pacific time on hischannel.com. Invite people to that. I do have another really special event. I normally take students from Trinity Law School, where I teach. We go to Cambodia and other countries in Southeast Asia, dealing with human trafficking, particularly of little girls and boys, and show people how it happens, what's going on, how extensive it is, but also how it's being combated by Christians. The vast majority of people that are dealing with this are committed Christians, called NGOs, non-government organizations. They're basically ministries, but they have to go by NGO so they don't get in trouble with the governments. Well, anyways, we have a low enrollment of my law students, so we have about five openings. But it's really this week I need to hear from people. If they're interested in going, it would be from May 25th. You have to be arrive in Cambodia May 25th through June 2nd. May 25th, June 2nd. It's $1,500 besides your flight fee, but that includes your hotel expenses. That includes ground transportation in Cambodia. And it is a no-holds-bar, white-knuckle ride, seeing firsthand what goes on with human trafficking, what it looks like. You will literally see this stuff and what it looks like, and it is incredibly wicked. But you're, that's the bad side, the depressing side. But then the good side is you see people who are making a difference, who are rescuing little boys and girls out of this, many times having to take them away from their parents because their parents are the ones that are pimped them out. Yeah. It's not some pimp or what's called lover boy. It's actually the parents are doing that because of their belief in karma and of dire poverty and also addictions to drug and everything else. So daddy wants to do his drugs, so he sells off one of his girls, literally. And it's incredibly disgusting. I don't want you to go for the whore. I want you to go to see what it looks like, yes, but how Christians are making a difference. So you're invited. That's May 25th through June 2nd. And but you need to text. You need to email me. I get it straight. Yes, I didn't say fax, though, at least, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
You can email me at C, my first initial, my name, Craig, not Greg, but Craig, C. C. Hawkins at TIU.edu. C. Hawkins at TIU. Trinity International University .edu education. And this week, and let me know if you're interested in going. I've got room for about five people, and it's first come, first serve. If you are interested, it is literally a once in a lifetime trip, and you will never be the same. It sounds like hype. Trust me, I say it every time, and people will go, you weren't kidding. So if you want to see what's going on and how to make a difference, then join us. And contact me one last time, chawkins@tiu.edu.
PCH, I really appreciate that. If you want to call and send questions by way of text, that number that you can call, I think it's 714-815-7097 for his channel. Go right on his channel.
Yes.
You can see that information, 714-815-7097. Let me say this real quick before we go back to the phone calls. Eric, you're up next. Hang in there. And Sal and Christine, I am going to answer your question right after we talk to Eric because we're getting close to the end of the broadcast. Folks out there with the money that God's provided for you and you had trusted you and you being a great steward, what a great opportunity for one person with a lot of money to be able to sponsor everybody, the last five people that would go out there. And then, Craig, you won't refuse any money if they send it in there also to help defray some of the costs that's already out there. And also don't forget about the various things that we have need for in the ministry as far as our Faithful Friends Fund, our Bible BIB for the General Fund, and also for the TOT, the Teaching of Trainers that we talk about all the time. So I want to give that message right now, PCH, because I want the people to understand that they can give that way. And the folks that really have a huge amount of God's money, and, you know, the only thing you're concerned about for this week is that you're going to buy your fifth car and see, you know, am I going to get a Tesla or what? You know, there's a waiting list, I understand, from some of my golfing buddies. There's a waiting list on Tesla. So while you're waiting, you know you're going to keep on making money. So send some of that money while you're waiting for your second or third Tesla to take care of the sponsorship of the five people that's going to go to Cambodia with Professor Hawkins. And please send them an email at chawkins@tiu. That's Trinity International University .edu. That's chawkins@tiu.edu. You see how I write things down, Craig? I can actually read my writing on that one.
So let's go.
Let's get back to these phone calls. Talk with Eric in Arizona. Eric, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yeah, thank you, brothers. Hey, I'm calling in with, I think, what I'm going to call a report from Anywhere America, because I think the story I'm about to tell you could happen in any city in America. And actually, I've been sort of shocked, actually, that it's happened here in this city I'm living in now, which is actually one of the most conservative areas in the country, but that tends to, I think, to be irrelevant. Earlier I heard you mention about the failure of the church, and a moment ago about demonic influences. You know, God always has a remnant. There's always a remnant that he leaves everywhere that he works through. And this is our week, Holy Week, where we have that opportunity to turn to Him and see how He has overcome the world. And so I think what I wanted to ask you after I tell you the story is maybe if you could pray for us, pray for that remnant that's out there. You know, in world history, not only in world history, but in biblical history, we see the complete decline and failure of great, powerful cultures. And at the end of them, there's two symptoms that seem to exist always. And one is unbridled sexual perversion, and two, the abuse and sacrifice of children. And we have that in spades in our culture. And of course, there are many of us who are trying to fight against that and speak out against that. Namely, of course, I'm talking about abortion. Here in my city, there's that organization, 40 Days for Life, which is an organization which is obviously moving against the abortion in our culture. And I think it's primarily organized by Catholics, and our local Catholic church is organized with a one particular Christian church that's well situated on a highway in our city. We have a large highway that comes into the city, and as it comes into the city, it's a large highway, but it still is a street with stop lights and so on. And there's a large Christian church at that.
Eric, excuse me, just for the sake of time, Erica, we are in the fourth quarter. Let's get to your question portion of it, so we really need to respect the timing.
Yeah. So I've taken part with this group, and I go, there's only a few of us that go out there, and we have these signs that the 40 Days for Life group provides. And what it really does is it's a call to action for Christians. And all the signs say is pray to end abortion. That's all it says. And we stand out there and have these signs as the traffic goes by. And what I've been shocked about is the incredible slander and abusive comments that we will get from people. But what I've been surprised the most is every once in a while, what we'll see is a man come by and he'll show us that one finger salute. But the people who give the slanderous and abusive comments the most, what I've been shocked is young women, women mm-hmm. in their 20s and their 30s.
Wow.
And
that,
I don't
yeah.
say this to single out the gender of women. We all need to take responsibility for this, both men and women. But I think that, especially here at Holy Week, prayers for the remnant in the church trying to overcome the evil in our culture is appropriate. And I thought you might have some comments about us dealing with that here in our culture.
PCA, before you make a comment, I just want to make a quick comment on that. Because remember, my cousin out here before he moved to Texas did that in the Lancaster area and the Palmdale area quite a bit with collaboration with Catholic churches. But I guess I'm not surprised at all that the demographic that you said is giving you the worst comments and the salutes and all that type of stuff are women basically that can have the abortions and stuff like that. That's not surprising at all because basically you're touching in their area where they're, primed to be able to, do this situation. I'm just going to say the murderous act that it is, but not to be mean-spirited, but just to be straight up what it is. And because that's the case, you're basically challenging them, and they have no answer other than to lash out. PCH.
Yeah, we appreciate Eric's comments, and really, I don't know if I need to make a bunch of comments. I think he already said it.
Yeah.
Well. It is where we are, and it's kind of a low-grade analogy, but used to be at one time when somebody cut you off or drove really dumb, really fast and erratic, it was almost always a male, a young male. But that's not true anymore. That's I get cut off as many times by women, and they flip you off to boot. So, I mean, women are equal opportunity sinners like men. I think Eric's already hit the nail on the head on two key issues. There's a few other things, the violence, the occultism, whatnot. But what he said is on the money, yeah. And I just really want to get into prayer because I love what he's doing. And I'm praying for more to do like what he is doing with the signs and simply standing outside of abortion mills and praying. It's just that's incredible. Mm-hmm. I know women who've decided to keep their babies because of that, and never want to underestimate that. But I think you've already again, accurately described it, Eric, and we need more Christians to wake up, to smell the coffee and the heinousness of abortion, and somehow people thinking it's a right. And yeah, you have a right to use birth control or to not mess around in the first place, but somehow that gives them a right to abort a human being just doesn't follow. But it is our culture, and the church really needs to rise up, needs to wake up. So I wanted to pray for that and thank Eric for bringing this up. Father, you know the case, and you know the church and how lethargic we are and lackadaisical when it comes to sin, particularly abortion and the other sins, and how many Christians themselves are involved in sexual immorality, how so many think it's okay, just like our culture thinks it's okay and doesn't think twice about it. And, of course, unwanted pregnancies, in quote, being the consequence, a big part of that. Forgive us, Father, repentance, revival, reformation in the church first and foremost. Yes. And then that we might bring that to an unbelieving world. Speaking the truth in love, we might truly love people, but we would speak the truth and stand up for the unborn, the most vulnerable among us, the babies in the womb. We pray for that and for, again, the sinfulness of the church, that we would repent, that we would acknowledge our sins, that we're just as bad as the world. You'd forgive us, you'd grow us and mature us, and you would bring revival, you would bring reformation, that it would be a new day, that you wouldn't have to continue to judge America for our sins because of the sin of the church in particular, but that you would lead us to repentance and that we would see you mightily work in the world, but particularly in America, and that we might indeed be that city set on upon a hill, a light that's not hid under a bushel. But help us to be salt and light. And thank you for brothers like Eric, and may his tribe increase, and may you continue to have this message shared with others, Father, that we might repent and acknowledge what's been said, and not just rue the day and our sinfulness, but repent and see transformation and change in our lives, and therefore then and only then in the unbelieving world that surrounds us. In Christ Jesus' matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Eric, before you leave, I'd just like to share a real brief story.
Thank you, brothers.
Eric, if I could, just before you leave, can you hear me, Eric?
Yeah, I wanted to say just one quick thing.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You know, brothers, and for everybody, all Christians out there listening, God's Word, the Bible, is a call to action. And that's why I love doing what I'm doing, because these signs that we have out there, they're a call to action for us. All it simply says, pray to end abortion.
Indeed.
And we at a minimum need to do that.
Amen. Hey, Eric, appreciate you, man. God bless. Hey, PCH, I was going to share this real quick. If Eric's listening, I hope he understands. There's a guy that comes on the radio now on this, Brandon Tatum. They have another group out there in the Arizona area that's also dealing with something about Starks, and I have to get the right name, and I'll have it for you next week, in regards to dealing with the abortion issue and helping women right on the front line. And I like what Eric just said, a minimum of holding a sign. That's the minimum. And one of the things I remember, Craig, because Roe versus Wade was, I was a high school a senior, and then I had a son the next year in 74, and it was right during that time when Roe versus Wade was passed. And from that, I go back in the years that I learned about this whole abortion issue and how easy it was and how people were doing it and stuff like that, and I learned, and I turned this thing into doing at least this, that on everybody's birthday, even all my children's birthday, I tell them what I suggest that they do, because they're not getting a present from me. Not because, you know, I didn't want to give them a present, but just here's what you should do on your birthday. It's my suggestion, one of those things, like Eric said, the least you can do. I tell all kids, anybody, adult, I don't care what size, what age kid you are, I said, if your parents are alive, you should call your parents on your birthday and honor them for just simply having you. When it was so easy through this whole 50-plus years, since 73 to 2022 with this Dobbs decision, Dobbs and Jackson versus, you know, that health care situation, and when they overturned it and put it back to the states. Craig, my youngest daughter's birthday was the other day on the 30th, and she said, I know, Dad, I should call you, my mom, and everybody had anything to do with raising me and having me and say thank you, and I'm honoring you now. I said, yeah, but you don't have to give me a gift this time, honey. I'm telling you, I turned that around, Craig, and that's the least that I can do in regards to telling people that that's one of the ways you can fight this abortion issue, by having people understand that to be here in the light of how easy it was to do this stuff and how pervasive it was and still is, like Eric said, the least you should be able to do something. You should be at least doing something. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number to call Eric. Matter of fact, we don't need a call because we only have a little bit of time left, maybe about 12 minutes, Craig. And I think the questions that I have here for Sal and Christine are pretty interesting. And now we have Bonnie with a question here. I hope I can bring up Christine's question. I think I have it here. She's asking a question from Facebook, Craig, about the rapture. And she wants to know, how does she put it here? After the rapture and the people that are left behind, I want to see if I can bring up her question. Oh, man, I had the question. I can't see it for some reason. Let me see what happened here, Craig. I apologize. Let's see. Is that it? It didn't come back up. Well, the question was in regards to the people that are left behind. And she said something about regards to, I got to get the question, Craig. So let me do Sal's question first, and then we'll go to Christine's question after Sal. I have to get the whole question up. My apologies. Sal's question is going back to Nebuchadnezzar. And is Nebuchadnezzar in heaven? And he's using some scripture like Daniel 3, the fiery furnace, including chapter 26, Daniel 4, and Jeremiah 25. And he's asking the question, is there evidence Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven, as I find Christine's question?
Well, it's still some speculation, but of course, Sal always asks great questions. Mm-hmm. And it's speculation on my part, but I won't be surprised to see him there. I'll put it that way. And particularly because of what we read in Daniel chapter 4, verses 35, 36, when his sanity is restored, he praises the God of heaven, not just Daniel's God, but he praises God as, it appears, as God, as his God. And he seems to acknowledge the lordship and sovereignty of the one true and living God. So I can't say for sure, but I won't be surprised at all. In fact, I'd almost say when I go there, not that he'll be the first one I'm looking for, but I will probably seek him out, because I'm expecting them to find him there. Let's put it that way. I'll leave it at that.
Very good. Okay, let's see. I still haven't brought up Christine's question yet. Eric, if you could help me out, I can't get Christine's question to come up on the Facebook, so I'm working on that. But we had a person that called us in, and it seemed like it's a good prayer night. She said that his Bonnie is calling for prayer about her mom, her mom's friend. Lift her up, and she's asking us to do it on the radio even. So about, let's see. Help me out with that, Eric. Christine's question. Here it is. Her mother's friend has stage 3 lung cancer, and I pray for the healing and salvation, please. And Mary Perez, as well, also has cancer. There's a lot of folks, Craig, that's dealing with cancer. Some folks, even in my family, that have been praying for. And I'm going to ask the listening audience to pray along with that situation, to pray for not only those that would have cancer, but also pray for us on this radio broadcast that does this radio. Pray for Ozzy and his family. Pray for Eric, his family, Craig and his family, mine and my family, in regards to what we do and how we deal with things. Now, PCH, I know that when we pray, we're praying for each other and things like that, but I want to elicit the audience's prayer as well on an individual basis, not just for the ministry, but just please be as specific as you want in the case. I'll give you my particular thing I'm asking you to pray for, that God seriously opened the doors that he wouldn't open. I have a patent pending in the golf game. I think I mentioned something about that before. It's on the bridge right now. Really, I'm going to launch it within a couple of months, just from a business standpoint, because I think it's a great opportunity to raise a lot of money, Craig, for the NGOs we talked about. You know about it. I'm just asking the listening audience to pray that God would open the doors he wouldn't open and close the doors he wouldn't close, and for me to accept those doors that are open and accept those doors that are closed, of course, and do it because who God is. Help me to understand God's will and which direction I should take, because it's a very large industry, a very large world in that, and God has been moving tremendously in regards to it. And I just ask that you would just pray that specifically for me. PCH, okay, Eric, why don't you come on and just give Christine's question? I can't even see it.
Okay. So Christine says, I have a question. After the rapture and those left behind get the mark of the beast, can they still be saved? John MacArthur years ago said, yes, you can still get salvation. So what say you to this?
You know, I appreciate that technology. Thank you, Ozzy, for helping that technological thing so that Craig can now radiophonically respond.
Yeah, he still holds that view to the best of my knowledge, and I really appreciate MacArthur and his teaching, but I would just hold a differing view. My view would be no, you've sinned, and those people, let me put it to you a different way. I don't think they're going to repent that they've done that, and they're not. I would argue any sin you commit can be forgiven. There's only one sin for which you cannot be forgiven, and that's not to repent, not to accept forgiveness, not to acknowledge your sin. So whatever person has done. So I would just hold a differing view on that. I think that people are going to be so enmeshed and so given into that that they're not going to repent. And that's why it says that that person is not going to be saved. Otherwise, why mention it? Because you could say this with any sin. It's any sin that you repent of, God, we believe, can and will forgive you. But again, the sin you can't be forgiven of is the one you don't repent. So my understanding is those who do this, they're not going to repent. So therefore, there will be no forgiveness. That would be my view.
Appreciate that, PCH. I'm going to take the opportunity right now and just pray for Bonnie's son's mother's friend. And for anyone and everyone out there in the listening audience that's dealing with, diseases that we call incurable diseases or diseases that are being treated that are in late stages that are, you know, the doctor may have only given you a few months, days, months, or years, you know, usually months or days as far as the way they determine how the body is responding to the disease. And I just ask the listening audience that as I'm praying that, I don't know the specific names of everybody, obviously, but I ask that you fill in the names if you specifically know the people that are maybe going through it in your family as far as cancer. That seems to be a very large problem and disease that we deal with. And, you know, it comes those times, PCH, I'm telling you, where people, I've talked to so many people this week, man, I almost found myself saying I need a vacation because of the deep, deep things I was hearing from people in dealing with. And these are just friends and family, let alone the ministerial things that you deal with. So people are really going through it. We were dealing with the oppression that the brother was talking about with his, his nephew and stuff like that. People are going through stuff, Craig. I don't have to tell you. You're not it's no secret to you. And because when you're in ministry, you're going to hear some stuff. And sometimes when you're hearing these things, the only thing you can do is break down and take it right to the Lord, what it should be anyway. And I think there's a place in the Bible where God got on, I think a king's case, where the king, I believe, I forget the king's name, I don't think it was Oneb, but I think the king went to all these doctors, spent all his money and everything like this, and they couldn't do anything. He took all his money, whether it was a king or not, a rich man, went to all these doctors, everything. And when he came to the Lord, finally, the Lord said, well, you went to them first. Why'd you go to them first? Why you didn't come to me? And I got to find out in the Bible, Craig. I remember reading it. I just had to put together who the name was or the situation specifically. So I'm going to ask that we would, whatever we're going through, consider going to God first. Yes, 911, go, you know, see the doctors, everything like that. I'm not suggesting that we just stop and do things in emergency like that. But I'm simply saying consider the God that created us, the God that's he tells us to pray to him. He tells us to talk to him about these things. And prayerfully, specifically if you're a believer, but I've talked to enough people who are not believers and have got in their life, and the conversations I had, Craig, like I told you, were deep, whereby what do you do? Because I know you're going through things when you are the God of your life. So let me briefly pray for these situations with the cancer on Bonnie's son's mother's friend and for everyone else. Lord God, for the not just cancer, Lord, but for all the diseases, we know that you can instantaneously heal. We don't know why you don't in specific cases, and don't even know why you do when you do it. But we thank you for it. You tell us we can come to you and ask you for healing. We can ask you for whatever we want. And so, Lord, I'm just going to ask that people would have a more fervent and effectual prayer that you say is going to avail much. So I'm just earnestly asking you, Lord, for the situations that are mentioned and the situations that the people are mentioning now, even as I pray over this broadcast, that you might hear them, Lord, that you might let your will be done in their life so that they can make no mistake that it was you indeed. It is you that are going to heal. Ultimately, we're all going to be healed through death, some of us. And then if Jesus tarries, it's going to be through death. And it's going to be a healing on that side. But Father God, on this side that we're dealing with these issues of life, I just ask and pray that you would bring comfort, if not immediate healing, on each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord. And let them know, some kind of way, however you do it, Lord, that it was indeed from you. And whether it's instantaneous, whether it's over time, we're just asking that your will might be done, Lord, and we're going to accept it by faith in Jesus' name, that you, Lord, are the one that we can come to in these very, very tumultuous times that we're dealing with. And it is by his master's name, Jesus, that I pray, because you give us the ability to do so, and in his power, I'm praying, amen. PCH, we have about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes left. I'll give you all the time you need under that, and I'll close the broadcast out.
Thanks, Daryl. Yes, I hope there is a sense of urgency in prayer, and a lot of people are hurting. And I don't want to make light of cancer and diseases, but there's something worse than that. That's dying and going to a precious eternity. And so we ought to be praying about the ultimate, yes, for people's cancer, but more importantly, the cancer of their soul, of sin. Speaking of that, the cancer of child prostitution, taking a class of students from Trinity Law School where I teach, due to low enrollment, I can bring about 5 people from our radio audience if they're interested from May 28th, June 2nd. May 28th, June 2nd. You have to be there May 28th. It's $1,500, but that includes all your lodging and several of your meals, not all of them, but some, and ground transportation. And we will deal with human trafficking. You'll see it firsthand, but also how it's being countered and the work that Christians predominantly are doing to end it. And we'll visit a place called Swaypak, which was in the World Center for Child Prostitution. They made resorts there. People could stay there and just do their thing with little kids. It's sickening. It's not the World Center, but it's still a major place where this goes on. And you'll see what it is, but also how to combat it and people who are doing just that. So if you're interested visiting with all kinds of organizations and people and leaders in dealing with combating prostitution, particularly among children, you are invited, but you need to hear, it really needs to be this week. You can email me at C Hawkins, C, not G, but C, chawkins at TIU.edu. chawkins at TIU.edu. Ask for more information. This will probably be the last call for this trip if you're interested in, because we're going to be going and trying to make a difference in the world one child at a time.
And just on the piggyback on that, I'll reiterate, if you're a person out there that has a tremendous amount of points on your credit cards or your travel cards that you have with various airlines, and that you can also be a blessing in the same area, because the people that are going to pay the $1,500, what have you, to go on a trip, it doesn't include airfare. So you can help defray the cost of those that may be going on a trip. And if you are in that position whereby you can sponsor the whole 5 people or even one of them, please feel free to contact Craig like that. He'll make out the details with you in regards to that. And I'm going to simply say this, folks, that I mentioned golf before. And when I say I have a golf ministry, it is a very serious golf ministry to me, because I'm, like I said to many people who know, that this vehicle of golf is going to, I believe, allow me to do what the Lord would have me to do in regards to putting the Bible on a silver screen in chronological order. And that's going to take a whole lot of money into the billions. And that's all I'm going to say right now until I come back with you another time and explain more to you about it. So with the music in the background, and let me know that we're coming to the close of this broadcast. My name is Daryl E.C.D. Fulton, Mama Grace and Big Daddy's Baby Boy, saying on behalf of Ozzy, thank you very much for everything. Craig, PCH, I appreciate you as well, brother, and Eric. As always, man, you keep this show going, and we really appreciate and love you for that. And listening audience, the teammates out there that are listening, you are indeed the teammates of the Bible Information Broker, so please tell some friends about it. As Brian would say, tell 3 or 4 friends. I'm going to say tell 10, and let them do multiples of 10 and see how we can grow the audience in that way. But God bless you. If the Lord willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers presented by the Revival Word Ministries and the friends and family of. Thank you.
Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.